Brenda, probably all of us have heard the saying, a mind is a terrible thing to waste. And
the following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
About the point that we first see the human mind at work in the Garden in Eden. In the story of Adam and Eve, we see Eve's mind was deceived, and we also see Adam's mind was not, in that sense, deceived, but he used his mind to deliberately make a choice to disobey God. And the Bible is full of examples and descriptions of what goes into the human mind. Clearly, the mind of man is far different mind than the mind of Jesus Christ. In a recent message, we saw some information about the mind of Christ, and today we're going to continue with that same topic. I've entitled this message, The Mind of Christ, Part 2. Brethren, one thing that God intends for each believer to do is to be transformed from the tendencies of our human mind into the full image of Jesus Christ. We know this verse, but please go with me to Philippians 2 and verse 5. Philippians 2 and verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You see, brethren, it is God's will that he give us his nature through a process of working in us, in our experiences, and in our minds through his Holy Spirit. As we go through this mind-changing process, through this transformation, we prove in our minds over and over that God's will is the way to live. We prove God is always right, and we come to be able to embrace his will with delight. Now, please go with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, and we'll read verses 1 and 2. We know these verses in the context of what I'm addressing here, but Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Verse 1, and I'm going to read this out of the Darby translation. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the compassions of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your intelligent service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Please now, if you would, go with me to Psalms 40, Psalm 40, and verse 8. Psalm 40, verse 8. I delight to do your will, O my God. Yea, your law is within my heart. That word could be translated mine. Unlike the mind of Jesus Christ, the human mind is a mind that gives into, it is a mind that leans toward the flesh. The Apostle Paul was inspired to write that our carnal mind, our fleshly human mind, this mind that is in us, not the mind of Jesus Christ in us, but this carnal human mind in us, is against God. We see that in Romans 8 and verse 7. Romans 8, verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, because, it says for in the King James, it's better, because it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. There's a whole sermon in that. But do you realize, brethren, it is an absolute spiritual intervention, or perhaps we could even call it a creation that occurs when God calls us and we become true believers. It's an absolute miracle. If we have a mind in us because we're flesh and blood and bone human beings, that human mind is against God, which is what we just read. We also read that, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, which was never against God, and we can have that same mind. That's a miracle. It should be obvious to all of us as believers that without God's direct calling and our submitting ourselves to Him, we would all still have the natural fleshly powers of the human mind guiding our lives. And yet, it also should be obvious to all of us as believers, God gives us access to His power, access to His love, and He has given us access to a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And brethren, one thing for sure is that this world needs to have a sound mind. I mean, we know that we're living in a time where there is a lack of sound-mindedness when we have babies being born, whether it be male or female, and the parents are refusing to fill on the form to be placed onto the birth certificate, the gender of their babies. And they're making statements something like, we will let him or her choose their gender. That's a true statement. This really is happening. We live in a world that needs the mind of Jesus Christ in them. Brethren, years ago in a book by Mr. Herbert Armstrong, he provided some interesting thoughts about the natural human mind. Part of the following description comes from his thoughts. We know that the mind is more than just the activities and instincts of a brain. I read a plaque the other day that I think is interesting. You can think on it. It stated, mind is nothing more than a term we employ to describe some of the functions of the brain. Now, you got to think about that. Often in our modern day culture, we might hear someone use the terms brain and mind interchangeably, even though they really do refer to separate concepts, even though they might often overlap. For one thing, the brain is an organ, but the mind is not. And there is no such thing as a mind that can function if it is not alive. Our human brain needs more than just the cells or the structure and the chemicals to actually be a mind. The human mind is far, far above the brains and the instincts and capacities of any animal. And I think we should all instinctively know that. Yet, however, science has not yet discovered, and I would put that in quotes, they haven't discovered it because they refuse to accept the Bible, but they have not discovered that the human mind has a spirit within him. Yet, Job did. Go with me to Job 32 and verse 8. Job 32 verse 8. But there is a spirit in man. Oh, really? And science doesn't know this. They refuse to accept this because this is of, quote, God, and God doesn't exist. But anyway. But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives them understanding. You see, brethren, it is God who has provided the spirit in man. And when a person dies, that human spirit returns to God. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 7. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 7. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Ecclesiastes 3, we read 20 and 21. Ecclesiastes 3, verses 20 and 21. Verse 20. All go unto one place. All are of the dust, and all return to dust again. Who knows the spirit of man that goes toward, that goes upward, and the spirit of the beast that goes downward to the earth? You see, brethren, there is a process. There's a process. When God calls us and he grants us his faith to believe and to repent, he gives us his Holy Spirit. Yes, we go through a process. There's calling, there's belief, there's acceptance, there's repentance and baptism and laying on of hands and all of that. You know, so there's this process. It is that Holy Spirit that joins with our human spirit to begin the growth or the creation of a new creature. Romans 8 and verse 16. Romans 8, verse 16. The Spirit itself bears spirit. Let me start. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Our human mind is much more like a human egg and sperm meeting to begin the new life of a human being. And I think that we can see that concept, we can understand that. So with this in mind, what we've stated to this point, I'd like for us to look at some scriptures, and I use the word some because it's not all, there are so many more, but there are some of the scriptures that are going to be able to help us to understand this marvelous mind of man. God created our minds so that we can learn and grow and understand and have wisdom and make right choices for our thoughts, our feelings, and our behaviors. He created that so as to be able to do that. Go with me to Genesis 2. Genesis 2 and verse 7. Genesis 2 and verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul, a living, breathing being, human being, walking around with mind to be able to think and to come to reason and understand all of these things. We also know that when the body dies, the brain also dies. And the mind ceases to function. Go with me to the book of James chapter 2 and verse 26. I'm just going to read the first part of that, the A part. James 2 verse 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Just want to really focus on that first part. As the body without the spirit is dead. And of course, we understand what causes death is sin, and sin is what has caused death to be the reality for all of mankind. Romans 3:23. And brethren, God intends that we should have an abundant, everlasting life. That's John 10:10. Now, we need to remember that it was man's mind that was involved in the sins of both Adam and Eve. Eve was deceived. She was fooled. While Adam's sin was more willful and deliberate, Go with me to 1 Timothy 2 and verse 14. 1 Timothy 2, verse 14. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Both sinned. And it started in their minds. Without our mind, we receive and use information from our five senses. These affect our perceptions. This is the start of our interacting with the world and everything that is around us. As we grow, as we get older, process, mature, the human mind creates filters or it takes on and adopts those that are around us. These filters affect our thinking, our feeling, our judging, and our choosing. It is with the mind that we think on things to imagine, to analyze, to create. There's so much more to that, but I want us now to look at some other things the Bible shows us that can help us to understand our minds. We're focusing now on the human mind, not necessarily on the mind of Jesus Christ in us. And I'm going to do this through some bullets because I know some of you like to have it that way. I mean, because it's simple and I can just say the next bullet. Well, the first bullet I have is the mind can become depraved or reprobate, void of judgment. Romans 1 and verse 28. Romans 1, 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. The next bullet, our minds can be set on or can be focused on the flesh. Romans 8 and verse 6. Romans 8, verse 6. I'm going to read this one from the Christian Standard Bible. It's not one that I use often, but once in a while. Romans 8, verse 6. Now the mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset of the Spirit is life and peace. The next point, next bullet, our minds can be hostile. Romans 8, verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity or hostile against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. If we had a PowerPoint, we would have all of these points flash up and you could see it easier, but you have to use your mind to see it that way. Some of you got that. The next bullet, the mind can be haughty and proud. Remember, we're talking about the human mind, just the everyday walking around human being. This is the mind that we all have in us. Proverbs 16 and verse 8. 16 verse 8. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 18 and verse 12. Proverbs 18, verse 12. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. Proverbs 21 and verse 24. Proverbs 21, verse 24. Proud and haughty scorner is his name who deals in proud wrath. And I have one more under this section, and that is Proverbs 13 and verse 10. Proverbs 13, 10. Only by pride comes contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. We could focus on each one of these concepts that we see here in the book of Proverbs that we just read in these four verses, but We'll leave that for another time, perhaps, but let's go on. The next bullet, the mind can become defiled. Titus 1 and verse 15. Titus 1 verse 15. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. Unto the pure all things are pure. To those who are using the mind of Jesus Christ in them, all pure things are pure. Not all things are pure. All those things that are of God are pure. You can see them. You can understand it. But if we're using the human mind, it's defiled. It's not. The next bullet, we can also see what kind of person someone is by what he or she says. In other words, well, go with me to Proverbs 23 and verse 7. 23 verse 7. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Now, the next part of the verse goes on and is showing an illustration. Eat and drink, says he to you, but his heart is not with you. That's the human heart, the human mind. It's not going to go with you. It's going to be going away from God. Another verse here. Matthew 15 and verse 12. Matthew 15 verse 11. Matthew 15 verse 11. Not that which goes into the mouth defiles a man, but that which comes out of the man that are out of the mouth that defiles a man. And of course, there are many other things the Bible has to say about the mind of man. So, brother, please also realize God created the human mind to do some wonderful things. And the Bible indicates, shows that in many different ways, in numerous ways. Imagination comes from our minds, and our imaginations can be righteous or unrighteous. In Genesis 6 and verse 5, Genesis 6 and verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. But back in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, and he says, and God created these things, and he says, and God says that it was good. So when he created this in the human mind, it wasn't that way, but it becomes that way. And the thing is, brethren, that is the most natural tendency of mankind, is to think in a bad way, not in a good way or in a righteous way. We need to know that even though true believers have the mind of Christ by God's gift, we can still have vulnerable or susceptible minds to this evilness, to this other way. We can see, if we can find one example of this, is where a righteous and true believer was caught up in hypocrisy. We just see an example. This is just one. But go with me to Galatians 2. Galatians 2. And I'm going to read this out of the Christian Standard Bible. I think it's a little clearer in this one. Galatians 2, verse 13. Galatians 2, 13. Then the rest of the Jews joined his hypocrisy, so that even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. Now, what the story is not really the point, other than I'm just showing the hill as an example of where a righteous, true believer got caught up in hypocrisy. Barnabas was one of the major companions and travelers with the Apostle Paul, who himself was also apparently an apostle. Go with me to Acts chapter 4 and verse 26. Acts 4:26. And Joseph, which would probably be the word Joseph, who by the apostles were surnamed Barnabas, which is by interpretation the son of consolation or the son of encouragement, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus. Okay. And so here's Barnabas, who was this, who was an encourager, which is, wasn't even his name, but he's known as Barnabas, but he wasn't even, and that's not even really what his name was, but this is what he was referred to as, the son of encouragement. But he got caught up into hypocrisy. Well, this is saying that we can be vulnerable. That's the point that I was making. And brethren, we need to be aware that we can also harm ourselves spiritually, because we can grieve the Spirit of God that is in essence the mind of Christ. Not going to prove that point, just making that as a statement, but do go with me to Ephesians 4 and verse 30. Ephesians 4 and verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. This word grieve, and this here, grieve not the Holy Spirit. This could be a really good topic to be covered as a sermonette topic by someone someday, what that is talking about. But we could grieve the Holy Spirit. And then in Ephesians 2, verse 1, Ephesians 2 and verse 1, if there is therefore any exhortation in Christ, if any consolation of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any tender mercies and compassions, make full my joy, that you may be of the same mind, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. It is God's Spirit in our mind that provides us with the authority and the power to refuse fear, to have access to His power, to have God's love, and to share God's love with others. Going back to the bullets, the mind of Christ makes us apart. Another bullet here, the mind of Christ provides the unity of the Spirit that must be in a bond of peace. So we ask, why? Well, because without a bond of peace that is the Holy Spirit joining with our human spirit, making us, giving us in that sense, having the mind of Jesus Christ in us, this is what we're, how we're looking at this. Without this bond of peace, our efforts at unifying, having the same mind, will be greatly hindered. It will be delayed and it will be hampered. In other words, it's very possible there won't even be there, because there will not be all of that oneness there. Ephesians 4 and verse 3. Ephesians 4 verse 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So, brethren, I think, just from what we've seen up to this point, I think we need to ask ourselves, are we carnally minded or spiritually minded? Two bullets back to back here to comment. The first bullet is, the carnal mind thinks primarily on the things of the world and on its own personal needs. And the second bullet here is, the mind of Christ thinks primarily on the things of God. Romans 8 and verse 5. Romans 8 verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. I want us to look briefly at the phrase sound mind. We touched on it just a little at the very beginning, but I want to go back there. And so with that, go back with me again to the verse that we read, 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's in the King James Version. It's also the New King James. But I'm going to read this out of a couple of other translations. The New American Standard Bible. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and of love and discipline. The Darby translation says, for God has not given us a spirit of coward, but of power and of love and of wise discretion. The World English Bible, for God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and self-control. The NIV, the last part says, self-discipline. The Christian Standard Bible, the last part says, sound judgment. And then the Young's Bible says, sound mind. So depending upon whichever translation we may be reading from, this phrase sound mind might be translated in several different ways. But what I want to focus on is sound mind, because I think that gives a much bigger picture in our minds to see what the concept is really talking about. The words that we have in the King James Version, the New King James, the Young's, and a few others, is translated as sound mind. It comes from this comes from the Greek word, and don't worry about what the Greek word is. Sophronismos, and it means discipline or correct. That is self-control. So that self-control translation is really a good one. But the sound mind fits better with the terms that I'm using in this particular sermon. The sense of that Greek word, the sense of it is, because I showed you before, in Greek and in Hebrew, they have what the word actually means and how it's used and then what the sense of it is. The sense of it is, this word would show, it is pure. It is full of zeal for righteousness. It is something that is going to be pointed in the right direction with God's righteous goals in mind. It is also at the same time both positive and rejoicing. And then there's one other sense of it, how it could be used, and I want to focus on this one, and I really like this. Now, we would use the word sound mind. We wouldn't go through all of this, but it makes sense. An inner outlook that regulates our outward behavior. That's having sound-mindedness. That's having the mind of Jesus Christ in us, because that's what it's going to do. It's the mind of God joins with the Holy Spirit, which is the essence of the mind of Christ, joins with our human spirit. And then as a result of it, we have an outward outlook toward that which regulates our outward behavior. In other words, we're going to act like God. We're going to act like Jesus Christ. Now, notice with me, go with me to Titus 2 and verse 4. Titus 2 and verse 4. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. And I'm going to focus on here this teach the younger men to be sober, because that's that Greek word. It could be translated here as sound mind. Teach them to have sound mindedness. In other words, teach them so that they will have an inner outlook that regulates their outward behavior. In other words, that they will live like Jesus Christ would have lived. That's what it is saying. Teach them to be sound-minded. Now, what we also see from this context here, I just read the one verse, but you see from the context, these younger women would have been part of the body of believers, not part of the world. And that's an important point. Therefore, what we're seeing is to be sound-minded is something that can be taught. It is something that can be learned, and therefore it is something that can be applied to our lives. In other words, it's something of having an inward outlook that regulates outward behavior. We act like Jesus Christ. It's real clear. The world can't have that. We can. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13. 2 Timothy 1 verse 13. Hold fast the form of sound words which you have heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Hold fast to those things that the sound words that I have taught you. Here's again another scripture showing that it can be taught, that we can learn it because we have the mind of Jesus Christ in us. We can be taught this and it can grow in us. So again, believers, we need to ask ourselves, are we walking in our fleshly mind or in the mind of Christ? Another bullet, the mind of Christ is to hold fast. Hebrews 3 and verse 6. Hebrews 3 verse 6. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, meaning the church, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. We've been taught this. This is a way of life, then, because we're the house of God. We are taught these. We hold on to them unto the end. That's another way of saying have sound-mindedness in us. Another bullet here is the mind of Christ will bring unity to God's people. Psalm 133 and verse 1. Psalm 133, verse 1, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Because you see, brethren, that's what brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ do. Another bullet here is the mind of Christ is prejudice toward God. Psalm 23, verse 7, the A part, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. What is in our heart? That word heart is not talking about this organ that beats in our body. It's talking about our mind. It's talking about what regulates our thinking and our hoping and our acting and how we live. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Please understand, brethren, the mind of Jesus Christ was never carnal. By that I am meaning it was never against God. Hebrews 9 and verse 14, Hebrews 9 verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead work to serve the living God? Philippians 4, verse 6. Philippians 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Verse 7. And, meaning, if you do that as a result of this, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, can keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's the mind of Jesus Christ in us. Now, I want us to notice Ephesians 4 and verse 23. Ephesians 4, verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Wow. we can be renewed in the spirit of the mind. That is the mind of Jesus Christ in us. And as I stated from the very beginning, a mind is a terrible thing to waste. And indeed it is. Therefore, brethren, through these two back-to-back sermons on the mind of Christ, it should be obvious to all of us as believers, it does not need to be wasted. We have it. We have it available, and it can continue to be there and to grow and to be strengthened, and we can use it and to become more and more like Jesus Christ in every way. And I want to conclude by going back to a verse that we all know, but I want to read it again, Philippians 2 and verse 5. Philippians 2, 5, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. The Aaronic blessing. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his son, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Brother, we have been blessed with the mind of Jesus Christ. Happy Sabbath. God bless all of you.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.